Bob Papiani, our co-host on the Nightly Sports Call, 1035 simulcast here on 93.7 The Fan, the sports director at Channel 2 going back to the early 1980s. Bob will be on the Extra Point show Sunday following Steelers and Chargers. Is that a KDK Plus joint, or is that going to be on Channel 2, Bob?
No, that's on the mothership this week. Home opener, baby. Let's go.
Broderick Jones just told reporters, crap, I played bad. That's all it is at the end of the day. You F up, you get pulled. And said now he has a sense of urgency to be a better player. Bob, you sat next to Chris Hoke, both during the game watching Jones struggle and then when Chris said that Jones looked uninterested in training camp. Give us your thoughts on what's happening to the Steelers' benched offensive lineman.
Yeah, I just think it's the number one pick who we all expected to be the franchise left tackle. I mean, that's what they expected after they, you know, moved up to get him, and it's just not been that easy. And, you know, you can look at it and say, well, coaches have made it hard for him because they keep deferring to Dan Moore. Well, maybe it's because, and Chris has expressed this too on our show, that he's just not playing as well as he should, and they're going to go with a guy who's playing better. And so they've tried to move him over to right tackle. Last year he did okay there for a while, but at the end of the year it started to go the other way. So I just think he's trying to find an opportunity that he can, you know, raise his level of play. And Chris was adamant about him, you know, not being tuned in enough, not focused enough during training camp. And I think that's probably an accurate assessment of what's going on. I don't know if that's a case of him just thinking because I'm a number one pick where I was taken and you know, that grants me special exemption to be the starting left tackle. Dan Moore, you have to give him credit, like him or not. He keeps on putting out, you know, decent performances, much better than what we've seen from Jones at this point.
Bob, you have a window and a relationship with Mike Tomlin, a window into his thinking maybe. You do the show with him, obviously. You know him better than Pony or I does. We always try to parse how he talks at his Tuesday press conference. How did you interpret the way he answered questions about Broderick Jones? What was your just thinking on like the idea that Jones is in Tomlin's doghouse? Did you hear what he had to say? Did you observe Tomlin there and come away with the same feeling?
No, I really don't think that's the case at all. I think that may be perception of what's going on, Chris, but I really believe that he wants the best for me. He wants him to you know, but he's not in a position at this point to just give him a job if he's not performing, you know, as he should. Now, there are those who believe, and I kind of understand this because there's a part of me that believes it, that he's better at left tackle. That's what he was drafted to do. So why not give him more of a run over there and see? Maybe that should have been the case in the preseason a whole bunch more. I don't know. But I think eventually this whole thing will sort out. We'll know at the end of this year because right now I don't believe Dan Moore has an extension beyond this year. So at this point, okay, so they didn't do anything with him. Obviously, you know, once the season started, so that window closed and it won't open again until later. And if it ever opens again, you wonder where it would lead. But I don't know it'll go to an extension. They have Broderick Jones' money already invested in him, and I got to believe it's in their best interest to put him there. But it's not going to be a situation where they're just going to give him a job if he's not working and producing as hard as the guy in front of him.
Is Bob Papiani a Dan Moore believer?
I'm a Dan Moore believer in that he, you know, he was a guy who did not, when he first came in here, he and Kendrick Green both were kind of thrown into it. And I thought it was a little bit much for those guys where they were drafted. I'm an admirer, admiring from the point of view that he's had to stave off all these number one picks coming in here. He's, you know, if you ever got to talk to him, guys, he's a really, really thoughtful person and has a great attitude about what he's doing, I think. And I think that serves him well for what he's trying to do. And he's also very helpful with those other two young guys. I think they respect that from him. So there's a lot of respect and admiration on his behalf. Now, can they get better overall performance? I think that's what they have in mind when they've drafted the two guys. But I give him credit. You know, he's not only you know, stuck around, he's fended off these guys. And, you know, and then Dotson's the other kind of guy. When he came in, I thought, man, that's going to be hard for him. The one guy who didn't was Green. And he was just overmatched at that position, I thought. But Dotson's turned out to be a pretty good player, cashed in. So who knows what Dan Moore's going to get in the future.
Bob, Brian Batko, we like his work a lot over at the PG. He had a chat today, and one of his interpretations of how Tomlin spoke about Broderick Jones, and still, and Tomlin saying straight away, we want him to get out there and be on the field, and we want him to play. He took that to mean that Dan Moore, despite all that he's done maybe to impress the coaches and to be on their good side, that he still might have a pretty short leash. Would you agree with that sentiment? Do you think if Dan Moore has a stinker of a game here, that his starting spot becomes pretty tenuous pretty quickly?
I think probably yes, because, again, they have a lot invested, and they know what the upside is on Broderick Jones. You know, I like you, Chris, I believe, and I think I'm right by this. When this happened, I thought that was a great pick for the Steelers. I still do. I'm not going to just shut that down.
Yes, I sang
think it's a great pick.
I paraded around the building, like, singing to the tune of Rocky music, Broderick Jones's name, because that was the guy I wanted them to draft. So I put myself not to the extent Pony did with Pickett, but, like, on my own scale of things, I put myself out there pretty good.
Yeah. I think if there's an opportunity that arises, they would do it. And then it's up to him to take it and run with it. And, you know, Dan Moore would understand, too. Again, he's a very level-headed kind of guy, and I think he would understand it. He's going to put his best effort out, and if it's not good enough, then he'll know what that is. And you have three tackles there, and one of them's a swing guy. He can't swing like the others can swing, so therefore he's kind of stuck in that position. If he doesn't do well, he'll be taken out, and Jones will move over there.
What grade would Bob Pompeiani give Arthur Smith through two games as Steelers offensive coordinator?
I'd have to give him a B+, I think, only because they've won. I mean, obviously, we all know, guys, that they cannot sustain this sort of performance on a regular basis to get no touchdowns and one touchdown and win games. That is just – that's a recipe for failure. So, I understood what they're trying to do, and I think Mike Tomlin has a big say in how they go about doing this. He's a big proponent of don't make mistakes. We win games if we get a plus side on a turnover. So that works, but against better teams, I suspect it may not work because Kansas City can overcome a -2 in a turnover. Cincinnati can do the same when they're playing the way they're capable. So those kinds of teams, you still have to be able to match point for point. It's incomplete for now, but after two games, I'd have to give it a B plus, just because they won two games, and they didn't make it easier on the other team to get points because the failure's on their side of the ball.
Do you think Mike has finally learned from some of these ugly playoff losses they've suffered that he can't always go this way with conservative offense? Do you think deep down he understands that for them to be a real threat, they're going to have to start scoring points or no?
Yeah, I think he obviously knows that when Roethlisberger was here, it wasn't so much that they scored a lot of points. The problem is they gave up a lot of points and they made too many mistakes. If he has a quarterback he believes in, I think you're going to see them do what they have to do. I think ever since Roethlisberger, it's been kind of, tiny steps trying to prevent disasters. And, maybe that, affects quarterbacks to the point where Kenny Pickett would be, he's a guy who I think is better served probably, going out, running away out of the pocket, throwing, just more of a workload from that point of view for him. But they were so concerned with just not making mistakes. And ever since Roethlisberger has gone, this is what we've seen, and we see it even now with Fields. So I give him credit. They reduced turnovers because he was a turnover machine. But again, at some point, you have to throw a lot of touchdowns. And last week, let's face it, he had one. He could have had two. He should have had two because that was a bad call on the pick.
Bob, before we let you run, Austin Bechtold, you know him, the producer of the Midday Show. Yeah, the City Limits. Joe Starkey's trying to use the radio show to solicit dates and to try to set Austin up with a girlfriend. A, do you think that's a good idea? And B, do you think that Austin will find success in finding the love of his life through Starkey's Cupid likewise?
No, I don't. I'm an old-fashioned guy when it comes to that, Pony. You got to go out and survey the field yourself. You can't do it through websites. You can't swipe left. You can't rely on radio. You can't rely on Joe, of all people. I don't know. No, I wouldn't do that. He's got to go out and just, fluff the hair up, get a good club and shirt, go out there, let people know what he does.
How about this one, Bob? I think he needs to learn how to dance. I think if he were to learn how to dance, that is something that always impresses eligible bachelorettes out there.
No question about it. I think women respect that. They know you're confident then if you get out there and you show that you can move on the dance floor. Absolutely, I would do that. I was talking to him the other day about facial hair, more so. I don't know what he would look like with a beard, but that could be an option too. That's an in thing these days.
I mean, is he able to grow facial hair? He has
a baby face.
He has a great head of hair, but he has a very much a baby face, Bob. I don't know if that might take him like a year to grow facial hair.
It might, but then again, if you know, it may come in, you know, like you're looking at a cornfield from an aerial drone shot. I don't know. I don't know what that would look like. So,
all right, Bob.
You'd have to give that a try and see what the results are.
Great stuff. Thank you, Bob. We'll talk next week.
All right. See you. Have a good day.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.